الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا والباقيات الصالحات خير عند ربك ثوابا وخير أملا. وقال تبارك وتعالى: قل هل ننبئكم بالأخسرين أعمالا الذين ضل سعيهم في الحياة الدنيا وهم يحسبون أنهم يحسنون صنعا. صدق الله المولى العظيم.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: لن أقول سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر أحب إلي مما طلعت عليه الشمس. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما على الأرض رجل يقول لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر وسبحان الله والحمد لله ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله إلا كفرت عنه ذنوبه ولو كانت أكثر من زبد البحر. وعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: لقيت إبراهيم ليلة أسري بي فقال: يا محمد، أقرئ أمتك مني السلام وأخبرهم أن الجنة طيبة التربة عذبة الماء وأنها قيعان غراسها سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: خذوا جنتكم. قلنا: يا رسول الله، من عدو قد حضر؟ قال: لا، بل جنتكم من النار. قولوا سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر، فإنهن يأتين يوم القيامة منجيات ومقدمات وهن الباقيات الصالحات. وعن النعمان بن بشير رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن مما تذكرون من جلال الله التسبيح والتكبير والتهليل والتحميد، ينعطفن حول العرش لهن دوي كدوي النحل تذكر بصاحبها. أما يحب أحدكم أن يكون له أو لا يزال له من يذكر به؟ وعن ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: إذا حدثتكم بحديث أتيتكم بتصديق ذلك من كتاب الله. إن العبد المسلم إذا قال الحمد لله وسبحان الله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر وتبارك الله قبض عليهن ملك فجعلهن تحت جناحه ثم صعد بهن فلا يمر على جمع من الملائكة إلا استغفروا لقائلهن حتى يجيء بهن وجه الرحمن تعالى. ثم قرأ عبد الله: إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه.
To see these great wonderful words, what great value they have got. May Allah tabaraka ta'ala give us tawfiq. And then the other side of the coin is also very, very important. These are baqiyat as-salihat, so what we call thawab-e jariya, the reward that remain forever. But as ulama have written, there are those people generally, all of us, we only think of the good deeds, but we don't think of the other side, how we destroy those good deeds. That even baqiyat as-salihat, which are perpetually good deeds, we destroy them also. So we have to be very careful and concerned about that. Hazrat Huzaifah ibn al-Yaman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said that other people, Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, should ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the positive things. I should ask about the negative things. And so all that also is the other side which we have to be very careful. Ulama have written that many people are unmindful of this, and because of that, doing lot of good deeds also, on the day of Qiyamah they will see it is haba mansura. It is just like you take some sand in a storm or windy day, you just let it go and it all flies away. All the good deeds will just fly away like that. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, there will be those people in my ummah that they will come on the day of Qiyamah with the amal like the mountains of Tihama. That is covered with snow, beautiful white mountains, huge mountains, so lot of amal. But then it will be all just destroyed. There will be nothing left of it. The Sahaba said, O Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell us who are these people, what did they do that we don't fall in the same trap and our amal don't get destroyed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam explained that when people do various types of other gunas and then they destroy that. So we will just discuss that a little bit. Yeah, in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Should we not inform you of those people who lose all their amal? الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They made lot of effort in the dunya. But in spite of that, it was all lost. There's a lot of effort. Beautifully somebody has said, there are those people who are hell-bent. In other words, making great effort in order to make their jannah, to make their dunya's life also full of deen, dunya, akhirat, qabr, qiyamah, and then go to jannah. And other people are hell-bent to destroy their lives. Like, for example, drugs, alcohol, gambling, all the wrong things. The dunya's life is also destroyed, qabr's life, qiyamah's day, and they go to jahannam. There are those people who are eager to make their jannat in this dunya. That is all their heart's desires they want to fulfill. Their houses they will make, their holidays they will have, their cars they will have, everything of this dunya. And there are other people who are determined to make their akhirat, to make their jannat of akhirat, and all their efforts. Even if their dunya is harmed, they are not worried. My akhirat must be made. So there are two efforts and there are two results. Two distinct efforts and two distinct results. With regard to قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Ulama have written, there are those people who don't do any amal, those who are doing the wrong efforts and they are destroying, and those who are doing the right effort. And then, as we have explained, which is very important, that we do the right effort and then we do those things correctly also. Like we make namaz, and namaz must be done correctly. Not just that I made namaz. We make wudu, and wudu must be done correctly. Not just that I made wudu. Some people, in half a minute, they do their wudu. And they just splash some water, wudu is done. There is no wudu done. So all our amal, and then the concern whether it's accepted or not by Allah Ta'ala. And then the greater worry that we, man ja'a bil hasanati, a person who comes with his good deed, it must not be that he destroyed it somewhere on the way. A person might make a lot of money, but then crooks rob him, or he himself goes and wastes it in wrong places. He himself destroys that money. So we, that person goes with this good deeds on the day of Qiyamah. So with regard to that, there are various, ulama have written, various things that a person does by which he destroys his amal. The first and most important thing is that kufr. First of all, if there is kufr, amal are not accepted. And in today's times, which we hear or often, which we are concerned and we talk about, that a morning a person will be a mu'min, by the night a kafir. And the opposite at night again. So we have to be concerned. How many of us are concerned that we are saying words of kufr? And it is so easy today. And on the cell phone, all types of jokes have been made. And any istighfaf of deen, That is to take deen lightly. That is also kufr. For example, a person doesn't give importance to Jummah namaz and he makes istighfar of it. Or a person disregards or any other thing of deen, even the smallest thing of deen, to regard it as a small thing. One person went to Maulana Imran Bhopali, Rahmatullah Ali in Bhopal, and in a discussion he said, but this is only sunnah. Maulana said, true, it's right, your words are correct, but the way you said it, that is kufr. That is the sunnah, you don't regard it as important. So we're falling into so much of kufr, and we might be thinking, I'm making my tahajjud, I'm doing all other ibadat also, but perhaps we are committing adultery with our wives. If we made kufr, the nikah is broken, and we're still living together. If we make kufr, our hajj is finished. We'll have to make hajj again. So when we are so guilty of this, how many of us read our kalima and it comes, jaddidu imanakum, refresh your iman. Iman is being utilized all the time and it's coming under pressure all the time. How many of us are correcting it again? And the strongest method of that is la ilaha illallah. When we make our dhikr, how many of us have got even the thought of la ilaha illallah? And how few make dhikr? And the few that make also, even the thought of la ilaha illallah is not there. So what is the condition of our iman? So if there is kufr, amal are not accepted. A person did amal his whole life, and then he makes kufr, which at any stage in his life, all the previous is cancelled. All his amal are cancelled. His nikah breaks. His hajj is all cancelled. Everything is cancelled. So it's not a small thing. It's a very serious thing. And generally we're totally unmindful of this. And it must not happen when we go in, when we face maut. At that time we realize that even my iman is not intact. Then what will be our condition? It's not just a matter just going with the wind, with the how people are going. We also just going. We have to be very concerned about this. And many ulama, they say that many of the very pious and ulama also are unmindful of this. They are engaged in good deeds and they are doing lot of good deeds, but they don't think about this at all. The other thing is shirk, associating partners with Allah. That also completely destroys one's amal. Allah Ta'ala says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيْنْ أَشْرَكْبَ لَيَحْبَثَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. That if, O Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, you have to make shirk, all your amal will be haft, will be destroyed also. Ulama explain, it's out of the question that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam will commit any sin. Shirk is right out of the question. There is no possibility of it. Allah protected completely. There is no possibility. The object of the ayat is to warn us that when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam is warned, it's not that Nabi alayhi salam is warned to show us the seriousness of this guna of shirk. And today if we just have to consider also how much we are involved in this. Shirk, like in every field, a person, his shop, his job, question ourselves, don't we regard that as our sustainer? We get our rosy from my job. And we are so worried if I have to lose my job. If there was that real iman, if my job goes, it goes. And my job is not my sustainer. Allah is my sustainer. So I have no problem. My job, I have to leave it. They want me to do something which is not right. Well, one friend of ours, maybe here also, a pilot, and they wanted him to shave his beard. He says, I can't shave my beard. It's out of the question. He didn't. And he says, those others who remained and shaved their beard, they fired them also. So the job is not our Allah. This attorney, Aslam, who? From Durban? Mutala. He was going to be chosen to be a judge on the, what is the highest court? Constitutional Court. And they put one question to him, that if matter comes and you have to choose between the law of the country and your religion, what will you give preference to? So without any doubt, he said, my religion. Just on that, he qualified for that job fully. And what a prestigious job. And a person who's in that field, how much he wants it. But he says, my religion will come first. He didn't get the job. So, and we, how much we just give in for everything. So how, so who do we think is our Allah, our sustainer? How will we enter Mar Rabbuka? And then today across the board, all of us, with regard to medicine, hospitals, doctors, we speak also, that doctor is very good, good, he'll sort you out. And you just go, this hospital's treatment is very good. As though we question ourselves, do we regard that treatment as our shifa? My medicine, do I regard that as my shifa? Or do I regard Allah as my shafi? That Allah gives me my shifa. Whether it is the food we eat also. Pai Abdul Wahhab sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, Allah reward him. He says, whenever you go to your shop, remind yourself, tell yourself, the shop is not my razaq. My shop doesn't give me my rozi, Allah gives. He says, to keep on doing this, though you know in your heart it's not, you know that my shop is giving my rozi, according to you. But the reality will come. When you take your medicine, say, this medicine is not my shafi. Allah is my shafi. Then the reality will come. Otherwise, how many of us, if I don't take my medicine, then people, would, I don't take my antidepressant, then what will happen? A full yaqeen on the antidepressant. Whereas in actual fact and reality, by their own words, make us of, that is destroying you. And our conviction is that is making us. It finishes a person. All these things. So with all this, the shirk. And Allah tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So how much aren't we involved in all that also? Then for example, with regard to the masjid, the respect of the masjid, a person who doesn't respect the masjid, we raise our voices in the masjid. It eats up our amal like fire eats up dry wood. How he just burns out the dry wood, our amal are destroyed like that. And we get so much involved in that also. And we don't even think of it. One alim giving a talk and warning about this. But when he walked out of the masjid, he was outside, but talking loudly there, that the sound comes in the masjid also. We are so involved at a wedding occasion, after the nikah, how much our voices. As we went to tashkir, we are in jamaat work, doing good work, and we are now making tashkir. If it is within the limits, and we are talking of deen and encouraging, no problem. But where we find there are so many groups that are made, and now there's some friends, they are joking there, in the masjid, and our amal we are destroying, and we haven't got any thought about it also. In one hadith it comes that anger spoils and destroys one's iman, like aloe destroys honey. Aloe is such a bitter thing. It is said that if a person is pulverizing it, crushing it at a distance from you, even then that bitterness, you will feel it in your throat. So much it comes. And a little bit of aloe destroys a lot of honey. It makes honey, we know how sweet is it. Perhaps there is nothing as sweet as honey. But aloe makes it completely bitter. A little bit of aloe, a lot of honey. And anger, and who is not guilty of anger? And this anger, if it's for Allah's sake, for deen's sake, and no also making our own stories, really. Not that we are saying it's for Allah's sake, but actually we are taking out our own anger for our own personal things. That destroys our iman. And spoils our iman as anger destroys, as aloe destroys honey. So we have to be very concerned what our amal are. In one hadith it comes that there are people who outwardly do a lot of good deeds, but secretly they commit gunas. And this is a very dangerous thing by which iman gets destroyed. And many of us are guilty of this also. One is a person makes guna, we are all sinners, kullukum khatta'un. But your lifestyle, there are so many people who are in jamaat, who are in khanka, who are alims, who are with darul ulums, but they got a TV also. And they show a pious front also. They'll go in jamaat, they'll go for umrah also. And at home, the TV also must be there. And they don't want anyone to talk. It must be watched. Even the children must watch TV. All. It must be on. But nobody must talk about it that they got a TV. That must be kept a secret. This is very, very dangerous also. Anything else like that. A very big guna in this, which we don't realize. Photos also. Our photo albums that we keep. Watching of photos, etc. We don't regard it as a guna. Our eyes, guna, but nazri. How many incidents are recorded in the kitabs of people who lost their iman because of the guna of the eyes. And this also is a thing that we are commonly guilty of. So we should be very, very careful about all those things that destroy our iman. Also a very terrible sin is that one somebody tells somebody else, Allah will never forgive you. You are the worst person to look down and to speak like that. It comes in the hadith, Allah will say, who are you to say that I will never forgive you? And that person might really be a very bad person. But in your anger you said that word, Allah says, I've forgiven him. And all I'll make you now like him. And all that you were mocking him, looking down, ridiculing him, all that will come into you. So, and your mort will come in that condition. So also, inheritance is also a very serious matter. Many people, pious people, everything right, but they mess up their inheritance. And then also, mort comes in and not in a good way to such people. So inheritance is also a thing that we must try and keep it clear. And really fortunate are those people who do not have extra. Allah gives them just how much is enough for them, and Allah protects them from expenses also. They don't have any court cases, they don't have medical expenses, they're just living hand to mouth. And when they pass away, there are those people in our times now. There was one person of land, a very dini, and at the end, his clothes also he gave away. And he borrowed from his son, whenever I need my clothes, I'll borrow from you. And there were many, Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, also the same. So they passed away with nothing whatsoever. So very fortunate are those people. And those that have, and to have your will ready all the time. Even the minute you've just got enough money, some money you have collected, keep your will ready. And I don't remember now, but there are five great virtues. One of them is you get the martaba of a shaheed if you have your will ready all the time. And keep it by your head side. It will remind you of your mort also all the time. And then at least once a year, update it. Because a person's financial condition also keeps on changing. So update it regularly. And even more better, inform your trustees, if they are your family members, that this is it, and explain to them. So that when you die, there is no delay for them, and nothing is ambiguous to them, who you are owing money, who is owing you, where is your money kept, etc. All that is clear. So then they can sort it out. Then your akhirat, it will be made. And that is the real life. Life is not this life of this dunya. The life is the life of the akhirat. Allah Ta'ala says, أَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولُ وَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ. Obey Allah and His Rasul and don't destroy your a'mal. With all these different things, a person doesn't realize, but he destroys his a'mal. ذلك بأنهم كرهوا ما أنزل الله فأحبط الله فأحبط أعمالهم. Allah says that those people who dislike what Allah has revealed, a person dislikes namaz. A person with a famous instance of that alim of Medina Sharif who disliked making ghusl. And he said, in this Christian religion is better than Islam, that they don't have to bath after having relations with the wife. And then when he was passed, buried in Jannatul Baqi, at the same time a French girl who accepted Islam passed away and was buried in Paris. And for reasons they took, he exhumed the body, and to their utter amaze, not exhumed, when they buried another body in this qabr in Medina Sharif, which is common in Jannatul Baqi, they found this French girl here. And they had their record that this alim was buried here. And now they find the French girl here. When the, all the details of it, that he said that the Christian religion is better than us, Allah sent him there. And she was in a Christian land, a Christian who accepted Islam and loved Islam, Allah sent her to Medina Sharif. So to dislike the things of Islam, that is also very, very serious. Anything of Islam that we dislike, that is also by which Allah Ta'ala destroys our amal. Another thing is ihsan jatana. You do a favor to somebody and then you speak about it. Whether you remind that person, I helped you, I did this for you, I did for you, and you put him in a bad situation. And in there also, the amal itself, not only afterwards. Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explained that all this giving out like blankets, etc., where all the poor people are called. Now in front of all, you're giving them food hampers. You're giving them blankets. In other words, you're publicizing their poor health, their poor financial condition. That these are like all poor beggars here who are coming here. Whereas it is, they keep the izzat of the poor person. Go to his door and give it to him without anyone knowing. Not advertise he that he's like making him a beggar that is coming there and he comes and he's picking up his food hamper, he's picking up his blanket, etc. We are destroying the honor of that person. We are doing one side a good deed, on the other side we are destroying the honor of that person. So we must be very careful, and this is very common. Forget outside people, family people. How many times a husband tells his wife, I do this for you and I do that for you, I did this for you, or the wife tells the husband, I did this for you, I did that for you, and by that we destroy our amal. How many people do great, great good work, but then they destroy it. And to speak about our amal, that we explained about that Hajj is up three Hajj, and in half a sentence he destroyed his three Hajj. So there are a lot of amal that we do, action by which we destroy our deen. وَمَنْ يَرْتَدِدْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ. A person who becomes a murtad, that is open. He admits and he says, I no more Muslim. But this, you thinking you're still a Muslim. That is even worse where you irtidad. And even worse where you go today on various sites and you explain that I gave up Islam. And on Auzubillah, all those things. What terrible condition of those people. Then there are other gunas also. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Don't raise your voice higher than the voice of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ. And don't raise your voices also. That is one physically actually. And one is your opinion. Your opinion you keep higher than the opinion of the hadith. Today how many? And today it is an achievement of knowledge. Those are good alims. That we can look into the hadith and to make it suit the non-Muslims, to make it suit the government. We take out meanings from there and we change. Well, we're putting our opinion above the opinion of the hadith. We're making Islam to suit the government. We're making Islam to suit the Abrahamic accord. With regard to that, how beautifully somebody said, those people who close the masjids to the Muslims, now they have an open day and they open it to the non-Muslims. They closed it to the Muslims who are pak, who make wuzu, who come with ghusl to the masjid. And they open it to those people who are filthy and dirty. They got urine, they got stool on them. And we open it. The masjid, we said, is a super spreader of the virus. And they were, those people, they are, now we want to, we expect with this dirt and filth coming in the masjid that Islam will spread. The Islam will spread everywhere. With filth and dirt, Islam cannot, Islam spreads with purity and cleanliness. So all these different types of guna, the ulama have explained various types of guna, and all these we have to be very concerned that we are doing good deeds and they must not be destroyed. It is like having a bucket with a hole in it, or even worse, a bucket with no bottom. You're just filling and there's no bottom. It's all just going. So we are many times very concerned to do good deeds, but we don't think of the gunas. And those actions particularly which destroy our good deeds. So that is also a very great concern that we must have. If a person who didn't do good deeds, he doesn't expect anything. But a person who did all good deeds, and he goes in the qabr, and instead of good, he finds sins there. But I made namaz my whole life. I gave zakat. How many hajj I made? How many times I went in jamaat? My life I gave in the khanka. And there we find there is nothing of that on the day of qiyamah. So this is very important for a person. And it isn't that we talk and tell other people. First, I myself, what is my condition? And where am I destroying my good deeds? Anything done with riya, show. And shaitan is so shrewd, how he comes into a person. And that amal is not accepted which is done for show, for name and fame. And if we did it with sincerity, and afterwards we show that amal, we destroy that amal also. So there are a lot of amals that we have to be, we know, we have to know them, and we have to save ourselves. So that on the day of Qiyamah, man jaa bil hasanati. And Allah is so merciful, so kind, we should become conscious, make tawbah, and even ask Allah, all those amal that I destroyed, oh Allah, you give them back to me. And make them more valuable than they were before. Allah is most merciful, Allah will do it. And our gunas also, nobody has to despair, I committed this guna, that guna, so I'm a write-off. No, it is man jaa bi sayyati. That who comes with a guna, if you made tawbah and cleared yourself, that guna won't go with you. So how kind is Allah? Goodness also, go with your goodness, take that precaution. Guna, just make tawbah, then it won't go with you. It will have left you. Allah give us all tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana.